Dormitibus, Prologue, A Boy from Another World. If there was ever an image or scenario that you could associate with the word hell, what would it be? Would it be the interpreted vision many believe you face after you die? Or would it be the fire that greets you after your retribution and penance is served? Or perhaps, it's seeing something that you love vanish before your eyes, while everything and everyone around you strays away. You are alone. You are in nothing but a wasteland, living only to survive, not thrive. For one, there is nothing that he could associate the word with more than watching the very home that he grew up in burn, as the people that he walked among its ground will be slaughtered and enslaved. All around him, buildings crumble and burn, while two warring factions destroy one another down in the streets. It's maddening, seeing all of this, and feeling every ounce of pain from it, only mere hours after witnessing the death of a family. One could say, the situation is ridiculous. A child, no older than 15 and barely a teenager, leading a revolution against a controlling organization that destroyed the peace and tranquility of a nation split into four districts. And that very same child, able to use everything to learn and grow too quickly for his own health, only to fight another, perhaps a year or two older than him. It was preposterous. And yet, here we are, amongst the very institution of creativity and unity that started it all. The sound of rain beating down on concrete and glass was heavy as a raging storm passed over a smoke-spewing city of fire and brimstone. Through the storm, screams and battle cries littered the streets. Each and every block had at least one or two creatures fighting each other, using primitive and advanced techniques to draw blood and gouge their lives away. On one side, an armada of soldiers and people enhanced with cyber-like technology and metal attempting to regain control over the land. And on the other, a band of tribesmen and crime families rising up to desperately take their home back. And in the midst of it all, on top of that very same institution, the leaders of two intelligent children stood using the same weaponry to bring this attrition to an end. Their battle held most of the tension. Back and forth they went, trading blows and fighting relentlessly to get the advantage. One moment ahead, and the next behind. When they finally had the moment to catch a breath, the controller held the inventor high into the air, his hand clasped around his throat.
"Your struggle is pointless. We have already won."
The controller's crimson eyes glared up at the blazer-clad teenager, squeezing his throat as his adversary grasped onto his wrist in vain. Adorned onto the controller was some sort of suit, streams of metal and wire that connected together and powered some sort of generator on his back. With the inventor, his arms had various things strapped to them, all combined to pull back and release large gusts of pressure via the pistons that would shoot forwards. Both weapons were worn and used, their chipped edges and rough damage showing that this battle had gone on well into the night.
"The vulnerable stare your nation was in now only invited an attack."
The controller turned the inventor towards the burning city, the two of them looking out at the glowing orange hues of the fire.
"While your focus had been on saving your home, my forces have already acted and accumulated themselves within every major governmental power on this planet. They are near to completing their assigned tasks, and once they've reported back, the combined forces of all military powers will be unleashed, and Predonum's true purpose will be fulfilled."
He then turned the inventor back to him.
"With no one left to challenge my organization, there will be no more wars. Everything will bend to my heel, and we'll all live under one major superpower. Security and a future over pointless freedom."
The inventor squinted open his eyes, his hazel blue orbs looking down at the controller's crimson ones. Subtly bringing up his arm, he let the makeshift gauntlet on his left arm pulse forward, sending a torrent of compressed air at his face. With a short stagger, the controller's grip was loosened, allowing the inventor to kick himself free and slide away from the newest leader of the Predonum. Rubbing his throat and coughing out the blood scratched out of his larynx, he repositioned his glasses.
"Your ambition won't come to pass. I won't let others suffer the same way that I did."
He grasped the homemade weapons on his arms, tightening them as he clenched his fists.
"I'm willing to risk everything to stop you."
The controller's glare hardened as he took off his tailcoat, the 17-year-old tossing it aside to reveal more of the metallic technological suit underneath.
"Then face me, one last time."
As this nation raged with war and violence, another within a separate plane of reality altogether was quiet. The air was brisk, just barely coming out of winter and into spring. The wildlife was beginning to arise from their hibernation, and the residents of this said nation were beginning to become active outside once more, cleaning up the mess of winter and readying themselves for the warm weather once more. This nation was one of the many oddities, and different names as well. The Kingdom of Harmony is said to be the central reference to this country called Equestria. This kingdom was not managed by the same creatures the Controller and the Inventor were a part of. These Technicolor beings took on a more animalistic image. Equine features grace their images, and the species is known by many as ponies. They were not exclusive to this, as other countries outside of Equestria had species that resembled, talked, and organized like human beings, but showed reptilian, avian, and hybrid traces of mythical entities. Within the kingdom, ponies worked together to achieve the harmony Equestria was supposed to be known for. For hundreds of years, maybe even more, they have come together to make a diligent effort, even after the latest plague wiped out an entire sex from their history. Yes, this planet was known to only show signs of female intelligence, but the male populace of these ponies, dragons, griffins, and so forth, died upon a plague 12 centuries before the modern day. Despite this, they had the tools to recover. An arcane means of survival that was learned, mastered, and shared to everyone across the planet. Magic. Using this, the creatures were reproduced in same-sex marriages, the mixture of the two organisms' magical makeup producing offspring just the same as if it were the natural way. This is how they survived. All of them. But two monarchs were unhappy. Unsatisfied. They wished for the next heir of Equestria to be theirs to lead, and quite frankly, they really wanted to rule the kingdom altogether, biding their time to formulate the perfect plan. And after decades of planning, they may have just found a way. One of them, disguised under a white coat of fur and a golden regal dress and ornament, pointed her finger at the grass before her. The horn that jutted out of the top of her forehead, a trait unique to the unicorn race of ponies here in Equestria, glowed an ominous golden green. The magic ran down to the female Amazon's finger and she began to trace a shape. First a circle, then a line through the middle, and finally, a letter written in the olden style of language. The other monarch, whom cast a heavy smog with her natural shadows, illuminated her horn, a ghastly and haunting cobalt blue. Pouring the energy into the circle, the grass around it began to glow, and the trace began to sizzle. Their plan was going smoothly, thus far. Now all they needed to do was wait. The Inventor launched himself forwards once again, having been knocked out by the Controller's impeccable defense. The suit that he was wearing was enhancing his movements and agility, while also strengthening his punches and kicks. The Inventor cursed himself for not having picked one of these suits from the many factories that he's led with a revolution of tribesmen and crime family towards. Maybe if he did acquire one of them and tinkered with it, he could have combined it with everything that he had and knew, and defeated the Controller with ease. But he can't dwell on that now. He was here, and he wasn't going anywhere. It's either fight or die, and the Inventor didn't see any way to analyze the Controller's fight patterns and retreat for a tactical advantage. All he had were the weapons that he's already made and strapped to his forearms, and that was fine. Pressurized punches were better than normal ones. Throwing his left fist with an exerting effort, the pressurized wind flew past the Controller as he sent his own into the Inventor's back. Hitting the roof, then spinning rapidly as he bounced, the Inventor was saved from going off the edge of the skyscraper only by the small ledge that poked up from the side. Shaking his head with a daze, he sat up, glaring back at the Controller as he found him right on top of him, ready to strike again. Widening his eyes, the Inventor dove back, letting the Controller smash out the ledge while he skidded back to safety. Jumping at each other again, the Inventor's eye glinted as he spotted a shift in the Controller's leg. Stopping himself, he quickly leaped to his right, canceling his opponent's fakeout and pressure punching him back to the center of the roof. Seeing the Controller recuperating, the Inventor reeled up both of his arms, pulling back the pistons on his arms as far as they could go. Slamming them into the roof, the flooring gave way, and the two young men fell with the debris to the level below. However, the pressure sent by the makeshift weapons flung all the massive chunks of rock towards the Controller. Bouncing off and kicking through the smaller pieces as he descended, the Controller was left wide open for the Inventor to tackle him in midair, taking them over to the side of the small skyscraper and sailing towards another building. Keeping himself on top, the Inventor reeled back his fist again and threw it down, giving the Controller that extra push to slam through several flights of the building next to the Pradanum headquarters. Falling after him, he expected his enemy to be buried beneath all that he took down with him, but the knee colliding with his gut told him otherwise. Gagging out a wad of blood as he flew off the second building, the Inventor scraped his foot down at the side of the Prodanum headquarters, and bounced off the street level when he was low enough. He would admit, he felt some muscles ache and some bones rattle upon touching down, but as his dad always told him, duck and roll. It softens the landing. Sometimes. Getting back to his feet, the Inventor looked up, seeing the controller coming down from the building itself, landing on the other end of the block. Taking a breath, the two of them ran at each other, pouncing off the pavement when they built enough momentum. Bringing their attacks together, their fists collided, and sent a shockwave outwards. Knocked back from the blow themselves, they used what was around them to fling themselves back at each other to keep the fight going. With each pass, another wave of might shook the windows around them. One would punch or kick towards the other, resulting in that wave as they guarded or parried to riposte. The Inventor was next to strike, but instead of blocking, the controller ducked to the side, fixing to retaliate while the Inventor was surprised. This turned out to be a moot maneuver, as the Inventor put up his other arm and backpedaled with the hit that he took. Keeping his arm up, he awaited the controller to approach, then punched him to the ground head first. Raising up his boot, he hit nothing but dirt as his opponent jumped to the side, then came back to kick him in the jaw. Spinning with the momentum, the Inventor pressure punched the controller back once more, and as they were about to collide again, both attacks missed their marks and accidentally squared them in the face equally. Flying past each other and crashing either onto a car or into a light post, they were slow to get back up, one of them even falling off the car and onto the ground. Shaking and quivering from the damage taken, the controller suit began to spark and fidget with its power on the back while the Inventor had to take off one of the weapons tied to his wrist. Left crippled on both sides, only the controller had a way to recover from his new disability in the suit. Opening up a panel on the front, he pressed three buttons on the inside, sending a signal back to the headquarters that he ran. Looking up as the last satellite attached to the side lit up with a bright red beacon, power began to transfer like battery life from the building into the controller's damaged suit, jump-starting several systems, while the Inventor struggled to get back onto his feet. Left on a knee and unable to continue, he hissed out more blood, dripping it from his lip as he stared up at the man who ruined his home, his family, and his livelihood. With all that power going into his suit, he knew that he couldn't salvage this fight, not now. He had nothing to regenerate of his own wounds from or help him walk and run like the controller did, he was much more advanced. And that always had the Inventor at the mark of defeat. Only one in 10 different scenarios saw him coming out on top, and when he rolled the dice, it was clear that he didn't make the gamble turn to his favor. With a burst of energy coming from the battery on the back of the suit, the Inventor smacked up against the car behind him, groaning as more red liquid bled from his head. Slinging himself off the hood, his arm hung over it as he wearily blinked at the controller, who was now walking towards him with a glowing red mechanical suit encasing his body. The metal had to have been hot. There was no way that it wasn't, and yet it didn't faze his adversary, especially after sustaining all of those wounds during the fight that they just had. The controller strode towards him, taking one step at a time slowly as to not push himself. Behind him was his army, the members that blindly followed his ideal of false unity under an iron influence. As he drew near to his last obstacle to the new world, he uttered out with a slight strain in his voice,
"You never stood a chance to begin with. Not now, nor when you first opposed me."
He ushered around him, once again ushering to the destruction caused by this feud.
"All of your attempts to escape my grasp have failed, just as your attempts to stop me have failed. And now..."
He gently grasped his enemy's shirt, lifting him up into the air.
"You will be buried along with this pathetic revolution."
A sharp blade shot out from the wrist of the suit that overlapped his knuckle. Tossing the Inventor into the air, the controller aimed for his head, then struck like a viper. The blade dove straight into the Inventor's cranium, carving up his left cheek and barely missing his eye before the steel dug deeper into his skull, just barely missing his brain by mere millimeters. Despite the shock and trauma, the Inventor actually lived, and was horrified too, as when he was thrown over the controller and onto the ground, couldn't move a muscle. Not even blink correctly. He only watched as they brought forth a leader of the tribe that he recruited, restraining her by her arms as the snapped spear that she wielded was thrown down beside the Inventor. The controller looked her over before chuckling, his laughter rising in a hysteria as he zipped to her and gashed the wrist blade right through her jugular. Sawing in and out violently as he laughed, the sprinkles of red splashed onto the Inventor's face, his fingers twitching as he tried to do something, anything. But it was no use. His body couldn't move, his joints wouldn't respond. He could only lay there, helpless to fend for himself or save anyone else. The tribal woman was yanked free from the blade and slammed onto the ground, her corpse sliding up next to the freedom fighter as the controller stood victorious over the two of them.
You know, I can't think of a more fitting end for you, my adversary. You, who has watched his whole family receive humiliating and painful deaths, follow them to oblivion. Oh, it's funny, really. After all...
The controller kicked over the tribal woman's body.
Is there anything more painful than seeing those you love die?
The inventor's eye twitched as the brimming grief and swelling hatred pumped a single ounce of adrenaline back into his body. Utilizing his chance, he used his newfound strength to struggle up onto his knees. Grabbing the part of the spear with a bladed tip, the inventor turned to the controller, who was walking away with his army in front of him. Seeing the battery on his back, he knew only one way to end this now. If he was going out, he was taking the controller with him. The army spun around as they heard the creaking of metal and sparking of live and loose wires. High voltage surged from the battery pack on the suit as the bladed tip came out of the controller's chest. The inventor couldn't hear much due to the trauma that he sustained, but he could swear that he heard the sound of the controller's screams just seconds before his suit exploded. And all of that power erupted outwards, eviscerating the army before him and blasting the inventor backwards. Sure, those suits of armor are absolutely amazing against incoming hits, but you're basically wearing a nuke at that point. And if something were to go wrong, well, things could happen, as seen here. Anywho, let's get on to our stable donators. Top donators Dasher of Evergreen, Peter Coulthard, J. Tin Man, Darkseid, and Ponyman. Courier Crew CI, Strix, Zar630, Narwhals, Delta Omega, RuneSlifer9852, Dospo, Ryan A. Dragonwolf, Hunter Norman, Austin Roland, Secret Moon, Tall Russia, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brother and Mordred, Ronin Wandering, Enderai63, Random Person Man Guy, Easy, Jack Hedge, Starlight Glimmer, Squiddy Boy, David E. Sanchez, Soul Dragon, Gaggy, Trey, Shadow Drake, Geo Pierre C, Alex F, Rainbow Dash, Teal'c Anderson, TV Killer, John Becker, Leon Reynolds, Zach Raquel, Mr. ECU, Leslie Pirkett, Edgar Garcia, One Kingdom One, Nisarusan, Vizuri, Dyslexic Character Sheets, and Just a Random Boy. Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.